This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a very pleasant good Tuesday evening to you. Jack Hillgrove with you. It's the Fan Evening Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Happy to be with you. As the Pittsburgh Steelers head into the bye week 6-2 in 2024. About as good of a start as you could manifest for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2024. Realistically, manifest. We'll talk about the Steelers, and I want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. How are you feeling about the black and gold as they enter the bye week? How are you feeling about them compared to other teams in the AFC North and in the AFC as a whole? I'm curious. At 412-928-9370, you could tweet me too at JackWTOV9, and you could hit us up there as well. Joel Nelson on the ones and the twos tonight. He'll be taking your phone calls at 412-928-9370. I want your Steelers takes. I want your takes on Deontay Johnson, now a Baltimore Raven. You know, if you listened to me before, especially recently, I've been kind of clamoring for the Steelers not to make a trade for a wide receiver between now and the trade deadline, because I thought the asking price would be a little steep. Based off of what I saw the return was for Deontay Johnson, I'm now kind of swinging my way back to, okay, if they made a deal at the deadline for another receiver, it wouldn't be the end of the world. It actually might help. So I want your takes on that. Does Deontay Johnson in a Ravens uniform scare you when the Steelers have to play the Ravens twice in the back half of the regular season? And also, too, a special night in the city, the Flower. Marc-Andre Fleury in what will likely be his final game inside PPG Paints Arena, his final game in the city of Pittsburgh, coming to town with the Minnesota Wild. If you're on your way to the game, good for you, because that's one of those moments that I would love to be in person and be a part of, because that guy, as far as not just being at the forefront of some pretty memorable moments and iconic moments in not just Penguins history, but Pittsburgh sports history. And you combine that with just the overall quality of a human being that Marc-Andre Fleury was as a Penguin and currently still is. It's going to be a special night for Penguins fans, for Fleury, for his family, and everybody involved. So if you're on your way to the game, I'm jealous. And if you're on your way to the game and you're listening, I want to hear from you. Let's hear about some Marc-Andre Fleury stories that make you smile, that make you happy, that make you excited to be a Penguins fan at 412-928-9370. With the exception of being at the forefront of some pretty big moments, perhaps the biggest being that save in the waning moments of Game 6 in Detroit in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2009. I don't know if you remember Joel Nelson, but the second Winter Classic, it was between the Penguins and the Capitals. I forget what network it was. I think it was HBO. It was called Pens Capitals 24/7. And it was just a four or five, I don't know how many parts, miniseries leading up to the Winter Classic between the Penguins and the Capitals. Do you remember? Maybe back in 2011?
I don't think so. Not so much.
Because Bruce Boudreau was the coach of the Capitals at the time. And like half of his interviews, he had like barbecue stains on his face. It was really, that's neither here nor there. But there was a moment in that series where they were doing the shootout competition, and it was one by one, each player against Fleury. Last person to score lost and had to run the bleachers in Acrisure Stadium all the way to the top of the 500 level in skates. Not run, but do it in skates.
Still, that's incredibly
difficult.
Yeah,
I think Jordan Stahl lost. I'd have to go back and try and find it. But Fleury just trash-talking all the guys as they were coming down the ice and trying to score in his French-Canadian accent and just his high-pitched voice. One of the funny, and just a complete joker, a complete locker room guy, and a guy that everybody loved and loved as a Penguin. And it pained, I think, a lot of people to see him go. Obviously, I heard at the end of the PM team that those guys were talking about it. It really wasn't anybody's fault. It was the Penguins at the liberty of the expansion draft, and they decided to protect the younger goalie in Matt Murray. Hindsight is very much 20/20 in that regard. I think we can all kind of look back on that and say, oh man, they probably should have kept Fleury and let Matt Murray go to Vegas. But again, at the time, what are you going to do? So he leaves Pittsburgh. It's no one's fault really. And he's had some sort of success since then, obviously with Vegas in the early years, leading them to a Stanley Cup final, cup of coffee in Chicago, and now looks like he's finishing up his career in Minnesota with the Wild. But you want to just talk about not just a remarkable human being, but a remarkable goalie and a remarkable career as a goaltender. 21 seasons as a goalie in the National Hockey League. Back in 03-04, it started when he was 19 years old. Spent 13 years in Pittsburgh. A bit of a roller coaster in those 13 years. 4 in Vegas, 1 in Chicago before being dealt to Minnesota. And he's been with the Wild since 21 at the deadline, 21-22. This is his third full season, 4th total in Minnesota. But a career goals against under 3. A career save percentage right around 900, 910. He'll go down as one of the best goalies of all time. And I'm just happy that it was a majority of it was in Pittsburgh. So we'll talk Marc-Andre Fleury. We'll check in as the game goes along here on the Fan Evening Show. With you until 10:35 tonight, until Pony and Pomp take care of the nightly sports call on KDKA Plus and 93.7 The Fan. But of course, you know, the bulk of the conversation tonight will center around the Pittsburgh Steelers and how we are feeling heading into the bye week. And I want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. One of the things, too, that I think that we really need to discuss is after 8 games, large sample size, and after 2 games with Russell Wilson, both pretty consistent performances, and enough of a sample size, I think, out of Russ, is has the ceiling for this team changed? And there's a lot of variables that play into that. Obviously, the big one, 8 games in, what's the record, what's the vibe around the team, but what's going on elsewhere? Immediately in the AFC North and, you know, secondarily in the AFC. And I think that a lot of what's going on around the Steelers makes me believe more in the fact that they can win a playoff game and potentially make a run to an AFC championship. Kansas City looks beatable. I think the Steelers win that game on Christmas Day. Baltimore and the recent success against Lamar Jackson still has me hopeful that the Steelers can win at least one of those games against the Ravens. And the Bengals look to be regressing, and the Browns don't have their starting quarterback. So I'm optimistic, and I think it's a realistic expectation for the Steelers to potentially win 5 division games in the back half of the regular season. The one game that I'm certain, almost certain of, that the Steelers will not win is the game in Philadelphia, because the Eagles look like world beaters. Saquon Barkley in that offense, he's become one of the best tailbacks in football, and the Steelers just don't have success against the Eagles, with the exception of Chase Claypool's one really good game in his career. That's the one game I'm very certain the Steelers will not fare well in, but the remaining 8 other than that, they could very easily go 6-2 or 2-6. I think the former is more likely than the latter. But they're, for the most part, I think a lot of the games in the back half of the regular season are winnable. And I want to hear from you on that topic. 412-928-9370. Talking Steelers, talking Penguins. Rich is headed to PPG Paints Arena and wants to talk about the Flower. Hey, Rich. Good evening, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Just got a great Flurry story. My brother transplanted to Northern Jersey, raised the kids to love the black and gold, follow the teams all around the tri-state area. And my nephew, this has got to be 15, 16 years ago, is about 5 or 6 years old. The Pens are playing the Islanders in Uniondale. And back then, they didn't have enough room on the bench for the backup goalie. So Fleury was sitting in the runway because he wasn't starting that night. My little nephew went over and was chatting with him the whole game. And my nephew was trying to blow a bubble with his bubble gum. And Flower is like, hey, kid, you got any more gum? He goes and asks his mom for another stick of gum. And the rest of the game, him and Flower trying to blow bubbles. He's trying to teach the kid how to blow bubbles.
That's pretty cool. How old was he? You said 5, 6 years old?
Yeah, my nephew was 5 or 6 years old. He's probably 22 now. So it was early on in Flower's career. And my brother and those kids who chased the Pens, you know, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia. And those young Penguins were just fantastic to the kids.
Yeah.
They were fans.
Yeah, that's a story I'm sure that your brother and your nephew still remember very vividly to this day and will remember very vividly for the rest of their lives. That's awesome, Rich. Enjoy the game. Thanks for sharing. And unfortunately, hopefully the Penguins can get a win against our guy Fleury. But, it'll be a very special night inside that arena, I'm sure, man.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, brother. Take care. That's an awesome story. One of those ones is a small child that's, you know, around an athlete that you'll remember for the rest of your life. Mine is centered around Fast Willie Parker. My dad and I were stopping down at Steelers headquarters to pick up tickets. I think my dad, like with his work, you know, in sales, was picked up two tickets courtesy of my pap to give away in like a silent auction or something for one of these events that his company was sponsoring, whatever. So we go down to the facility. We're waiting in the lobby. And I was wearing my Willie Parker jersey. And it was cold out. So I had my, and I was maybe 5 years old. I had my Willie Parker jersey on. Actually, I was probably a little bit older than that. Maybe 6 or 7. And it was cold out. So I had a jacket on over top. And I see, I don't know if I recognized him as Willie Parker or my dad told me as he was walking through. And he's like, hey, that's Willie. I like unzipped my jacket. And I was like kind of not trying to very nonchalantly, but very obviously, like, show him, like, hey, man, look, I'm wearing your jersey. And he stopped and he autographed it. It's like a very small children's jersey that's still hanging up in my parents' closet that he signed with a silver Sharpie. So that was one of those cool moments as well, kind of taking time out of his day to do that. But that's an awesome story that Rich shared as he heads down to the arena. And a very emotional night in store at PPG Paints Arena that we will talk about as the night goes on, as the game gets set to get underway here within an hour or so. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Nick Faribault of PennLive.com will join us. We'll break down the Steelers and the Giants' 26-18 victory as the game is complete and the game wraps up. Steelers 6-2. At 8:25... the Pitt Panthers have a giant matchup this weekend on the road against SMU, a top 20 showdown. Stephen Thompson, who covers Pitt for the Post-Gazette, will join us. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on with Eli Holstein. But on the flip side, SMU is dealing with a quarterback question throughout the week. Their starting quarterback dealing with a little bit of injury. I believe their head coach called him questionable for Saturday this week. So both teams potentially without their starting quarterback in a top 20 showdown. We'll get Steven's take on that and more. And then at 9, the Pitt basketball team, within a week away of opening their season against Radford, one of the best basketball guys that I know, George Michalowski of the Portal Report and Pittsburgh Sports Now, will join us and we'll break down how this Panthers basketball team looks heading into 2024-2025. All of that and more on the Fan Evening Show this evening. And I want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. As it pertains to the Steelers, a wide receiver, Deontay Johnson, the Penguins, Pitt football, Pitt basketball. And a lot of times around this time of year, we do our power rankings or we do a top five of your favorite Halloween candies. Joel Nelson and I, before the end of the night, are going to talk about some of the most foul and wretched Halloween candy that is unfortunately put in our trick-or-treat sacks as young kids. And if you have a very funny story about a bad candy or a funny trick-or-treat story, maybe it's centered around you when you were younger or maybe your kid, that'd be funny to share at 412-928-9370. All of that and more coming up on the Fan Evening Show. Jack Hillgrove with you on 10 until 10:35. It's Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Jack Hillgrove with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan until 10:35 tonight. Taking your phone calls on the Pittsburgh Steelers at 412-928-9370. How are we feeling about this team as they head into the bye week? Do we really think that they have a chance to maybe make a run to the AFC Championship? Do we think that maybe there's an opportunity for the Steelers to win one, maybe two playoff games, or an opportunity for the Steelers to, I don't know, win the AFC North? I want your take at 412-928-9370. Yesterday, Roman Wilson, Tyler Matakevich, Nick Herbig, Zach Frazier, Dylan Cook were all out. Cordarrelle Patterson also out. Listed as doubtful, ended up being out for the game. Justin Fields popped up on the injury report, was inactive in the third quarterback. But of course, the bye week gives an opportunity for some of those guys to get back into the fold. Hopefully Nick Herbig, maybe Zach Frazier. Cordarrelle Patterson was close, so you'd like to think that maybe he can get back into the mix for the Commanders in a couple of weeks. That Steelers injury report is brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They have got your back, not your wallet. Again, we're taking your phone calls. We're going to start with Rocky in Blonox on the Steelers. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good, man. Good to talk to you.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Hey, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do the rest of the year. I'm calling about that catch yesterday. Can we talk about that?
What, the Pickens touchdown that was called back?
Was that ridiculous or what? He got 2 feet, Don.
He
doesn't matter if they're just two right feet.
It does. The rule says that it's got to be 2 feet or a foot and a knee or a foot and an elbow.
But can I think the rule
is ridiculous in that regard, because to me, it looked like a touchdown. The ball really didn't bobble. He secured it. But the rule is what the rule is, and that's why it was overturned.
Can I respectfully disagree? Respectfully, because I got a cousin.
I'm respectfully disagreeing with the rule, too, but I'm just telling you what the rule is.
No, I'm with you. So he's a PIAA official. He's been, I think, about 12, 13 years. I talked to him today. We had coffee. He's saying he would have called it a touchdown, but, you know.
He would have called it a touchdown because in high school you only need to get 1 foot in, and that would have been a touchdown
You know, I'm saying he's got aspirations. He's got dreams. I'm hoping he makes the NFL someday. I'm looking to ride his coattails. So I'm saying I think he would have called that. I think 94% of the refs in the NFL, if that was not a Monday night game, honestly, if that was Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Western Pacific, I think that's a touchdown.
I don't think it is, Rocky, and thanks for the call, because even if it was called a touchdown on the field, they would have reviewed it, and the rule is what the rule is. I originally thought, and I kind of had egg on my face after I tweeted it, I'm like, that is simply a touchdown. That is what I tweeted. Because I was unaware that the rule was what it is. You can't put the same foot down twice. So no, that might have been called a touchdown. And then it would have been overturned because there are people in the replay booth back in New York that know that rule right away and say that's not a touchdown. That might be something because of that play that gets revisited in the offseason. But honestly, like, how many times have you seen something like that happen? And that kind of leads me to believe that maybe nothing will be done about it. It's just unfortunate because George, unfortunately, had a touchdown taken away, so that sucks for him. But it didn't really have much of an impact on the game. Made things a little bit tighter. Made the red zone situation for the Steelers a little bit worse, especially in the first half, trading field goals back and forth. Obviously, the game tied at 9 at halftime. But a win's a win. 26-18, and the Steelers are 6-2, and they're in first place in the AFC North. Another thing I wanted to get into, and I want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Deontay Johnson gets dealt from Carolina, who is one of the worst teams in recent NFL history. He's now a Baltimore Raven. And the trade that is on the table and agreed to pending a physical is a pick swap with Baltimore, sending a 2025 fifth round pick to Carolina, and going back to the Ravens is Johnson and a sixth. Does that not seem almost ridiculously low for somebody like Deontay Johnson? And I'm not saying that Johnson is, I mean, we know what he is. He's a fine NFL wide receiver, fringe number one guy, could potentially be a pretty solid wide receiver too. But is that not ridiculously low for somebody like Deontay Johnson? Somebody of that caliber could help the Pittsburgh Steelers right away. And, you know, if you heard me on these airwaves the last couple of weeks, I was hesitant about the idea of trading for a wide receiver at the deadline for the Steelers, because I thought the price would have been maybe a second or a third round pick. If they could copy paste that trade from Carolina and Baltimore to the Giants for Darius Slayton, I'd do that in an absolute heartbeat. I would even do it for a fourth round pick. I'd go Steelers trade a fourth to the Giants for Slayton and a fifth. My whole thing on it was I wasn't sure about the day two pick, second and third. I was hesitant on that. I'm in for a fourth for a guy like Darius Slayton. And to me, after this Deontay Johnson trade, it can get done. It could absolutely get done. So I want to hear what you guys have to say on Deontay Johnson, what you think about him becoming a Baltimore Raven, and if it worries you. 412-928-9370. But more on George Pickens from Jeremy in Aliquippa. What's up, man? Good evening.
Hey, how you doing there?
Good, good. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Yeah, great show. I'm just thinking, are we going to now start seeing D-backs like, all right, look, hey, he's going to catch it. I'm just going to grab one leg and hold it in the air and carry him out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's partially some of the strategy that these guys take. But now I think George Pickens is starting to get to the point where he's could be consistently a little bit more game-wrecking and dominant in this Steelers offense with Russell Wilson throwing him the football, that maybe, you know, teams might take him a little bit more seriously.
I hear you. I just was thinking, like, if that's, I mean, I don't know. As Jason Kelce said, if a guy hops 15 yards on one foot, you're telling me he didn't catch the ball.
Yeah, and that might be an argument where they revisit the rule in the offseason, but that's the thing I just said before you called, Jeremy, is like, how many times have we seen something like that happen? So is it uncommon enough for the NFL really not to just worry about it and be one of those things that people will complain about until they do change the rule? Like, we were obviously in Pittsburgh at the liberty of that with the Jesse James catch and, you know, Dez Bryant's situation against the Packers. Like, there are so many variables that determine what a catch is and what a touchdown is and isn't, and it seems like it's never going to end.
Well, Well, thank you much for taking my call.
You got it, brother. Take care. That's Jeremy and Aliquippa. 412-928-9370 is the number. Sean in Imperial, I saw you listening. We were going to get to you next, but you hung up, so feel free to give us a call back. You wanted to talk about Deontay Johnson. So does Chris in McKeesport, who just picked up the phone. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I got one thing to say about Deontay Johnson. What you think is going to happen with him on the same field with Minka after their fiasco last year?
Listen, I might not even, you know, and I was going to get to the point where I'm not too concerned about Deontay Johnson becoming a Raven, but what's going to happen? My question is, what's going to happen when he gets on the same field as Deshaun Elliott? Because that dude is a monster. And Deshaun Elliott used to play for the Ravens just like Patrick Queen did. So there might be a little bit of added motivation on that side. But that's a good point about the Minka situation.
Didn't him and Minka fight last year?
Reportedly. But, yeah, they that's reportedly part of the reason why I think Deontay Johnson's no longer a Steeler.
Yeah, that's all. Just wanted your thoughts on that, man. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, you got it, man. Chris and McKeesport. That's a good point. But, Deshaun Elliott has been a beast in that Steelers secondary. And that's the matchup that I would be looking forward to see. And honestly, I'm not sure it would even get to that point because you'd have to think Joey Porter Jr. will be on Zay Flowers for a majority of the Steelers-Ravens game, and it obviously depends on how the scheme gets drawn up by T.A. and Coach Tomlin. But you'd have to think that Zay Flowers is going to be guarded by Joey Porter Jr. I like Dante Jackson on Deontay Johnson, and that'll end up being a really funny storyline considering the two were traded for one another, Carolina and Pittsburgh. And then in that moment, we'll really see who won that trade. I think it's Pittsburgh by default because Deontay obviously is no longer going to be a Carolina Panther. But in that moment, we'll really see did the Steelers and Omar Khan make the right call for the right guy. And so far, so good. I think Dante Jackson's been solid. And the secondary's been very good. And that's without Minka kind of being in that splash play zone, except for last night when he almost took Darius Slayton's head off. And the jokes in the press box were, Joel Nelson, why is Minka trying to take out the Steelers' future trade target? Like, what's going on there? Everybody made that joke almost instantly, which was kind of funny. 412-928-9370 is the number coming up. I am revising my mid-season record prediction for the Pittsburgh Steelers. At the beginning of the year, I said 10-7, potentially a wild card playoff spot, depending on how the seed shook out and everybody else. That has changed. And I'm going to give you my record prediction. I'm going to give you win-loss from Commanders till end of the season. And I want you guys to react to it. And I want yours as well. 412-928-9370. More of that coming up on the Fan Evening Show, but first, a break. We'll be back in a moment. All right, it's the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove with you until about 10:35 tonight. Nightly sports call with Pomp and Pony at 10:35 on these airwaves and KDKA Plus taking you up until then. All right, before the break, I had mentioned that I'm going to give my mid-season, close enough to midseason. Now it's with 17 games. It depends on how you look at it. Is halfway 9 or is halfway 8? Since the Steelers have 8 in the bye, it's pretty much as halfway as you can get with a 17-game schedule. So we're going to pick our, or at least I'm going to pick my 17-game record for the Steelers midway through. I had them 9-8, 10-7 before the year. That has since changed. And a lot of it has to do with Russell Wilson. And how good I think he can be in this offense. And I want you guys to react to it as well, and you can give me yours at 412-928-9370. All right, Jolie, I'll get your reaction first, and I want to see what you think. I think from here on out, the Steelers will lose 3 games, one of which will be after the bye in Washington. I think because Tomlin trap game, him going home, sort of, to the Washington area, fresh off a bye, a lot of hype. I think the Steelers dropped that one against the Commanders. I also think the Steelers will split with Baltimore, and in the AFC North, you know, I'm not sure which one I'll pick. I mean, the Steelers could win that game on the road and lose at home or vice versa, and that can go for as easily as against the Bengals or the Browns too, but I think the only divisional game that the Steelers lose is one of them against Baltimore.
I like it. I like it, Jack. Baltimore's just really tough. They look like they could...
Exactly.
Outside of Kansas City. I mean, it looks like we're trending towards another Kansas City against Baltimore AFC Championship rematch, because Baltimore just looks incredibly hot right now. And some people might say that Baltimore is in a better situation than Kansas City right now.
And I'm one of those people. I think it's right now it's the Ravens Super Bowl or to lose. And I can't do math. I lied. I have them losing four more games because, again, math, not my strong suit. And the other one, I think they will drop one to Cincinnati. I think the one on the road. Joe Burrow plays well against the Steelers. Despite them struggling, I don't see the Steelers being able to beat them twice, but I do think they'll beat the Browns twice and finish with a 4-2 record in the division. And the last game that I think they lose is on the road in Philly, because the Steelers don't play well in Philly. The Steelers, I don't think, have the firepower to match with a team like the Eagles, especially on the road. That does include, though, a win at home on Christmas Day against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that game will be a slobber knocker, grind it out, whatever it is, bet the under, and I think the Steelers win a game like that 16-13. Is that bold of me to think that the Steelers can beat the Chiefs? I think they're incredibly beatable, especially with the way that the offense for them is played, and they are near the top of the league in point differential, and they're undefeated. I get all that. But with them coming into a hostile environment on Christmas Day, I like the Steelers' chances in that game.
It just feels like a matter of time before Kansas City, with all of their injuries and just their struggles on offense, as weird as that sounds, before they not necessarily get exposed a little bit, but, you know, they're undefeated right now. Doesn't feel like it's going to be that way for the rest of the season. But credit to Andy Reid for getting them to where they are right now.
He's
all
phenomenal.
Things considered, you know?
He's phenomenal. One of the best, I think, a surefire first ballot Hall of Fame coach. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Matt in North Huntington on the Fan hotline. Hey, Matt.
Hey, you know what concerns me before I get to the final record? Like last night, 2nd and 20, and they run a draw play and get 5 yards. It's like they're playing for field goals, and that's not going to work against the Chiefs. I know their offense is down. It's not going to work against even the Bengals, I'm afraid. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, in 2nd and 20, there's only so much you can do. I get it. I'd like to see them be a little bit more aggressive in a situation like that, especially when first down, you know, holds them back or a holding penalty. You don't want to give up your drives. But there were situations where the Steelers were going to make that up. I mean, they converted a long third down later on in the ball game. Van Jefferson caught a nice ball on the near sideline. Calvin Austin getting more involved in the offense. As those guys that they currently have in-house continue to build up that rapport with Russell Wilson, I think you might be able to see a little bit more aggression in those situations. And two, I think the bye week will allow A, Justin Fields to get healthy, and B, them to incorporate Justin Fields in the red zone in an area, obviously, that which they struggled last night.
Yeah, I hope you're right on that. I just worry about that. But when I'm looking at the schedule, I wish I was as optimistic as you. I really, this year, I really see 8-9 or 9-8.
Still?
I really do. I think we can only squeak so many of these games that we've been playing. Like, in our schedule the rest of the way, I mean, we got 6 division games left, and then non-division is the Eagles, the Chiefs. I mean the Eagles, you got the ghost of Harold Carmichael coming.
All right, Matt. Kind of freaked me out there for a second. It was loud in my headset.
That was weird. I almost thought that was Joe Starkey there for a second.
I don't think it was.
It wasn't. Yeah, I looked at the number. It wasn't.
He would have broke character in time, I think. The Browns don't, like, 8-9, 9-8. Would mean that they would drop one of the Browns. Like, I think they're going to be a better football team with Jameis Winston instead of Deshaun Watson. And David Njoku scares me more than anybody in that offense, other than, you know, if Nick Chubb's able to get ramped up and get close to Nick Chubb of old. But they don't intimidate me. Their record stinks. Their morale's low. And the Steelers always play well against the Ravens, despite how good those guys appear to be. So I think 11-6, 12-5 is more likely than them finishing 2-7. Quick math, 2-7 and 6-2 is 9-8, right? 8-9, yeah. And for them to go 12-5 is what? 6-3? 6-3 in the final nine, I think, is much more likely than 2-7. And it'll probably end up being like 5-4 or 4-5 or whatever. But I think I lean on glass half full. I lean on them being able to win 6 more games, 5 more games, get to 11, get to 12 wins. And Mike Tomlin, you know, will get them up for a game that maybe they shouldn't win, i.e. the Chiefs at home, i.e. the Eagles on the road. And I don't see that happening because the last couple times Steelers have played in Philadelphia, it has been horribly, horribly bad. I don't think it's going to be that bad again. Thinking of Kenny Pickett in his first start with A.J. Brown running wild on that Steelers secondary. But again, I am much more optimistic based off of what I've seen out of this offense, 30-plus points a game, Russell Wilson throwing for damn near 300 yards a game and taking care of the football through the air. I know he had the fumble and it was a bad play and I put that play on him, but that's one mistake in the first couple games. Offensive line's going to continue to get healthier and better. Ryan McCollum and Mason McCormick played outstanding last night. Again, granted, against a team that sucks on run defense, but they still played well. They're still continuing to get better. And I think once Zach Frazier becomes healthy again, it'll allow them to grow a little bit more on offense. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado, $1,500 at 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Low of 58 tonight. Before the break, Bob in the car. Hey, Bob.
Hey, man. You were saying, 1-7. If they go 1-7, they don't even deserve to be in playoffs. Doesn't matter. And, they have to play all these supposedly good teams, even Browns. Look, different quarterback, they beat Ravens, okay?
Yeah.
So quarterback is a big thing.
It is. Bob, what do you think is more likely, for them to finish 6-3 or for them to finish 2-7 or 3-6?
Browns?
No, the Steelers.
Steelers. I really believe that they're going to do good. Because we have a quarterback.
Yep.
And there's a belief there, which we did not have it, before. We had some, but prior year, everybody was new what we had, the quarterback-wise, right? So now it is a different quarterback, and especially when you change a good one with a better one, now everybody is motivated. Everybody's, their antenna is up. And they get a chance, they're going to make the play because...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.